KZL, is it?
KZL, is it? K82B and G.
David, sir, how are you?
How you doing tonight?
Sorry, I had a power flood. Radio shut off and came back on again.
Top radio, but it's actually on batteries. It does the same thing. If the battery voltage is... Oh, look, 11.7 volts. Yeah, we may not have much time.
Fair enough. I'm using a DC power supply running a mobile rig at my base station currently. I think I may have tapped it inadvertently.
This one's actually running off a battery charged by a solar panel on. So at night, I guess it doesn't charge. But, you know, it's one of the little 100-watt toy solar panels. I got some bigger solar panels I should install and get more batteries as well.
How's that? Cheap solar panel seems to be working out for you, yeah?
Well, it's a toy. It's 100 watts. I have two 300-watt panels that are basically sitting in the backyard. They've been sitting there for a couple of years. One day I'll put those up and I'll make a bigger system that can maybe power several radios and maybe some little appliances as well.
What were you using as your battery bank?
What, right now? It's actually one of those battery jump starter things you would use to start a car. Because my regular battery, this deep cycle marine battery, seems to have tanked. So yeah, the car starter battery with jumper cables.
Lot of the ingenuity, sir.
Also nice if I ever have to start my car. The thing I know is fully charged. But yeah, I gotta get some new 12-volt batteries. The deep cycle marine battery seems to have died.
I'm slowly building up my radio equipment set. Solar power is something I've looked at, but I really haven't made a move based off of like I said, I'm still running my little mobile rig as my primary.
Mobile rig as well. This is a Kenwood TM281. You know, your basic 2-meter, automotive 2-meter rig. You know, these are good little radios. You get these for like $100, $150 or so. They're not bad. I like Kenwood. Kenwood tends to sound good.
Sounds good. Mine's a little QIT. I'm actually borrowing from a friend who had it laying around. And I've got an ICOM HF that I'm still troubleshooting the antenna on. We're going to see how well I can get that up and running too. As of right now, I've been unable to at least make any kind of real contacts. I can receive plenty, I can listen, but I just don't seem to be getting out. So I gotta work on that antenna, I think.
See, the antenna's not matched for transmit, and the protection circuitry is letting no wattage get out. If the SWR is too high, there should be automatic circuitry that basically turns the transmit power almost to nothing.
I need to borrow a standalone SWR meter from somebody. I've got a local friend that has one. I need to just ask him about the onboard SWR meter. Stays pretty much between 1 and 1.5, but again, I don't know how accurate the onboard one is.
No, either. Let's see. I got... the radio I got here is ICOM... IC-718. ICOM 718 is a decent radio. I got another Yaesu HF radio. I have HF radios, just right now I got to build me an antenna. So right now 2 meters is all there is.
Been spending most of my time on 2-meter. I've managed to acquire a 2-meter J-pole that I've got up temporarily. I need to actually put a proper mast up or something for it.
Made J-pole, made out of copper tubing, and it's pretty much just leaning against the wall. It's leaning against an interior wall. So, J-Pole has good characteristics a lot of times, in spite of being in, you know, it's a good overall antenna.
Picking up of mine, I really can't complain, but again, I'm fairly new, and I don't have a lot of experience with different antenna types and designs.
J-Pole is... Go a few inches from the feed point, take your coax and make four or five turns of coax to make a choke. That'll improve the characteristics of your J-Pole. You know, put this within 6 inches or so of the feed point. Just take your coax and wrap it four or five times around itself. Because it needs a little bit of a choke to be a... J-Pole is surprisingly good as an antenna. You know, it doesn't need a ground plane. It's slightly directional, but, you know, it's good, got good gain. And as I said, my J-Pole is inside, just basically leaning against the wall. If I actually put it outside, it would work even better.
Behind the house, I just attached it to a length of PVC pipe I had laying around that gets just barely above the roof line. I've been really happy thus far with what I've gotten out of it.
Yeah, for 2 meters. Now, actually, what I'm going to do eventually is I'm going to take the 2 meter J-pole and scale it up to 10 meters. You know, increase all the dimensions by a factor of 5. Stick it on the roof, and now I'll have an antenna for 10 meters and also for 2 meters. So I need about 40 feet of little, you know, copper tubing, and I'll make a bigger J-pole.
I'd actually be interested to hear how that turns out. I've been trying to plan out different antenna projects that I can do on my own. I've had one friend that had some good success with a hex beam that looked really enticing, but I gotta figure out what it's also going to work around the house.
If it is, I guess, what works around the house, how much room you have to put up an antenna, will your condo board or homeowners association or your landlord or whatever allow an antenna? There's actually a lot of HF antennas that are reasonably small.
I even looked into one design somebody put up. All they do is pretty much put a length of cable around the basically the roof line of their house and made one large loop antenna.
Do that with coax. What you can actually do is, you know, it's probably not tuned for transmit, but it works okay for receive. If you have an old apartment, an old house you're living in, and somewhere on the wall there's a whole bunch of dead coax, what you can do is on one side of the coax, short the ground to the braid, and then on the other end put your regular coax connector into the radio. And when you do that, it's actually acting as an antenna, and that actually works surprisingly well. If you have, you know, unused coax that's, you know, from 20 years ago when somebody had a cable system, you can do that.
So confirming on the distal end of the cable, short the ground to the braid, and then make it connect to the radio on the opposite end, just like a... What would this be, like a in-fed dipole or something? I'm trying to envision this.
If that's what it would be, instead of it being a shield, you're making the braid an antenna. So on one end, as far down as the end you can go, you're going to short the braid to the shield. Short the inner conductor to the, you know, whatever, to the braid. And on the other end, you know, just put your regular connector and connect it to your radio. And that works surprisingly well for a receive antenna. It may not be tuned for transmit. The other thing that actually works well on HF frequencies is if there's an old television antenna. Television antenna is usually a log periodic, and it's tuned for like, you know, VHF. It's widely tuned for like low VHF to UHF, but as a receive antenna, it works well enough on HF. So if there's an old TV antenna that somebody just left there, you know, that could work as an HF receive antenna.
Copy that. I might be able to scrounge one of those up somewhere.
Long after people got cable and satellite, and however else they get their TV now, they typically just took their TV antenna and just left it there. So if you're in an older house or apartment, that's another thing. You know, again, it's not tuned for transmit, but for shortwave reception, shortwave listening, that actually works well for me as well. So you can make antennas out of all sorts of things.
I've been slowly discovering that amateur radio really does tend to be a tinkerer's dream. There's just all sorts of stuff you can do. And like I said, I'm brand new. I'm just barely on the entryway of this one, so I'm trying to learn and explore as much as I can.
Little advances of the past 100 years were made by amateur radio operators. Yeah, it was designed to be a tinkerer's hobby. And actually, a lot of developments have come out of ham radio that have worked their way into broadcast commercial radio. That's, you know, I guess what it was designed for. So, yeah, you know, we encourage that sort of thing. Hey, you know, we encourage you to build your own equipment. I don't know if a lot of people do that nowadays, but, you know, 30, 40, 50 years ago, it was very common. Hey, here's a 6-meter rig I built out of old vacuum tubes I got out of the dumpster behind the radio repair place. You know, people would actually build things.
Hey, I'm going to need to stay a little bit more on electronics and circuitry before I move up to making my own radio, but that is eventually on my list of things to do with playing around with actually just building at least a receiver and not being able to make some kind of transmitter. That I feel like that would be the pinnacle of my hobby there.
In the very, very early days of radio, you had the spark gap transmitter, which is basically, you know, you had a couple of thousand volts going between two points, generating an electric spark, and you can tune it somewhat by, you know, the antenna design. That goes back to the very beginning, you know, like 1900, 1910.
Yes, I've only barely even christened some of the early radio design and theory. I spent a lot of time trying to study up on modern digital stuff like EchoLink and SDR and whatnot, but I've seen some people, they restore classic radio systems, and I don't know, there's such a wide field here that I really want to explore.
That was the original wireless telegraph as invented by Marconi and others around the beginning of the 20th century. In fact, I just read a book. The title of the book was Thunderstruck. I think the writer was a guy by the name of Lars Erickson, what was his name, I think. But it tells two stories in parallel. One story is the early history of the wireless telegraph, and the other story is a notorious murder that occurred in England around 1905, 1910. This doctor killed his wife and chopped up her body in a very nasty way and buried her in the basement. And where those where the two stories intersect is he fled to Belgium and then tried to get to Canada, and from there he was going to go to the U.S. But one of the ship captains recognized him and used the newly installed wireless to contact Scotland Yard, and they managed to get on a faster freighter, and they beat him to Ontario, and they captured him. So it's the early story of radio, and the early story of the first criminal captured by radio.
Well, sir, it sounds like the weather's starting to affect reception on my end, just towards the last bit of that statement. You're starting to break up, so I may be having to hang it up here soon. But I do appreciate the conversation and giving me some stuff to go look on. I believe I copied the title of your book was Thunderstruck, correct?
Thunderstruck by Eric Larson, I think his name was. But it's funny how the story of the first wireless telegraph and this notorious British murderer, they meet up and he tells the two stories in parallel. And they meet up because the stories intersect at the point where a wireless transmission from the passenger liner alerted Scotland Yard to the, you know, hey, this is the guy. And they were able to meet him and capture him. So, yeah, the first fugitive captured by radio, and also the story of the wireless telegraph.
Well, copy that, sir. Thank you for the suggestion there. I do appreciate coming back to me, but I'll go ahead and hang it up. KO4 KCL is going to be clear. 73, sir.
He's glad to, all right, KO4 KCL, KD2VNG. Yeah, it's getting late. It's closer to midnight. So, 73, you have a good one. There's a net on this repeater every day, you know, every night at 9. So maybe we'll see you there. But, all right, take care. We'll talk to you later.
JKB monitoring.
There, KD2, VNG, how you doing?
Still here, I'm trying to stay up and looking out to see if snow's starting to fall up here in Asheville, but it's not snowing here yet. What's it like down where you're at?
Don't hear rain, and we get very little snow, so, you know, at least it's not like it was when I lived in Long Island, where I gotta go out and shovel snow. I don't ever want to do that again.
It seems like the wind is picking up. I hear things flying around outside. Hopefully it's not my antenna.
South Florida for Hurricane Andrew. You want to really hear things flying around outside? Yeah, I'm sure you got some wind, but, you know, you'll probably be fine.
I'm going to go out and check, make sure it is not my antenna. KO4 JKP.